people because of that, Lord. Your guidance and your direction is so wonderful. Lord, what would we do without you? Lord, we're just a blessed people here this evening. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would speak through your people, those that went on this India trip and those that went to Cabo. Lord, you did a radical work out there. And Lord, it's so hard to come here and to try to express and put into words what you did in our lives. And so, Lord, we need your touch, the touch of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide and direct those that that are going to be coming up and speaking, Lord. And we know that about now their stomachs are turning and they're upset and they're nervous. And, Lord, they got the butterfly thing going. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd calm them right now. And, Lord, give them your peace. And, Lord, we pray for every person sitting in these seats that, Lord, you would absolutely stir their hearts, Lord, to action. Lord, some have been on the mission field many times, and some haven't. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would, Lord, do a work, Lord, as you tell us in your word, such as not been done in all the earth. And so, Lord, we just look forward to what you're going to do tonight, Lord, and what the long term of this. Some you will stir up to go and stay long term. Some to sign up for short term, and some maybe can't go for one reason or another, that you would cause them to be prayer warriors for the mission field. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd have your way. And, Lord, we just want to acknowledge, Lord, this is all about you tonight. It's about no person, no man. It's about you. And so, Lord, we just pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. With that, we had a team go just a few months ago to India. And we also had a team just go a few months ago to Cabo. In fact, we were there at about the same time. And long before that, about 6 months before that, we had a couple from here, Rob and Donna Burns, and they went, as you might remember, Pastor Jack calling them up here, to send them out to India. They were, I guess you'd call them a midterm. They weren't a short-term trip. It wasn't a long-term trip. They went for 6 months, and they're back now. And in fact, they're going to be helping us do some work for our missionaries out there. And so without further ado, if I can have the Burns family come up, they're going to come up and share a little bit about India. Then we're going to, why don't you guys start coming on up here, wherever you're at. Where are you, Rob and Donna? Come on up. And then we're going to show some pictures, and then we'll have the India team come up and share. So come on up, you guys. Right when they're done, we'll show you some pictures of India. So, yeah.
Well, good evening. This is my family: Donna, Taryn, Ryan, and Caitlin. And it was about a year ago that God called us to go to India for 6 months. And you know, when God called us to go for 6 months, we were like, you've got to be joking. I can't leave enough food and water for the dog for 6 months. And but God made it very clear to us that we were to go for 6 months. And, you know, as we were sensing that call and as we were working through all that, the day that we said, yes, Lord, really began an incredible journey for us. It was amazing to see what God did in our lives. Yes, I was gainfully employed, and I had to do something about my job. We have a house. I had to do something about the house. We were going to take over supplies. I mean, just all kinds of stuff that you had to prepare for. And really, we were in India for 6 months, but the best part of the whole trip was actually before we left. It was just a wild ride. And you know, here at this church, we like to talk about the goers and the senders. And, I mean, I can honestly tell you that if it wasn't for the senders, the goers couldn't go. And many people in this body really blessed our hearts just by the things that they did for us. Again, we had a house that we had to take care of. We ended up leaving the house vacant. And so many people, my wife's friends and others, volunteered to come by the house. And people were coming by the house almost daily to check on the house. Some people would come weekly, and some people would come and start the cars. and drive them around the block and keep them up and going. And it was just a blessing to see people do that. Other people emailed us while we were in India. I mean, I can't tell you how encouraging that was to us. Many of you, there were some people that sent us packages when we were in India. And you can't believe the excitement when you're eating Indian food all the time, or at least Western-style Indian food or Indian-style Western food, whatever it is, and then somebody sends you a package of Rice Krispies and chocolate bars. And it's just incredible, the joy that it gives you and just makes you feel at home and comfortable and that people are thinking of you. And then when we got back, it's so encouraging to have people walk up to you and say, hey, you've been on our refrigerator for the last 6 months, and we've been praying for you. It was incredible when we got there, because God really stretched us as a family and as individuals. I'm not usually a public speaker. I've never, preached or done a Bible message in front of a large group. But while we were in India, I got invited to what they call a cell group or a Bible study, and they wanted me to teach them. And it was a group of about 30 Indians, mostly women, just one man actually. But as we went there, to get there, we first started on a motorcycle, and then we switched over to a three-wheel auto rickshaw, they call it. And then we pull up into this kind of what we would consider a slum area. And we go in this house, and just all these Indian ladies and the man start pouring in this house, and it was just a one-room house. And there were 30 people in this house, and they've all got their dots on their head because they're Hindus. Most of them, there was one or two Muslims there. Some of the Hindus were in various stages of their walk with the Lord. Some weren't Christians at all, but they were all people from the community. And it was just awesome to just be part of that, to be able to share the word of God with them. And in India, it's kind of like the Old Testament. You open up your Bible and it talks about idol worship and people bowing down to idols. I mean, India is a living Old Testament. Within a mile of our house, we had probably 12 worship sites of gods, places where they'd offer flowers and incense, and places where they had an elephant. They call him Ganesh. He's a guy with an elephant's head, and they're constantly worshiping and bowing down to these idols, and it's just so real there. So it was just neat to be able to share with them. I got to share with them out of Romans 1:24, I think, and 25, where it talks about when you turn your back from God, he gives you over to depraved things, and you start making things with your own hands and worshiping them. It was just awesome to be able to share that with some people there that are actively involved in idol worship. And we talked about it, and the couple that housed the Bible study, they had actually just recently gotten rid of all their idols. And it's a big step for them to throw all their idols out. And there were good Christians there that were working with them and bringing them along in that process. But it was just neat being able to be part of that and letting the Lord work in our lives and my life to be able to share. We could go on sharing for 3 hours because we were there for 6 months. But I want to give my wife some time to share some of her experiences. So, Donna.
First of all, thank you so much for your prayers. It's really meant a lot to us. We needed those desperately. When you're there, you're on the front line, and anything happens, it's been hours in prayer and Bible study just because we needed it, because the oppression and fear is there. But let me tell you some things that are really neat. When I went there, I was planning on teaching sign language and English and Bible to the children. I say children, they go up to 28 years old, but they're all deaf. It's a Christian school, and they just seem like children. Even the older kids, one minute they'll, they look like guys, but the next minute they have balloon animal hats on, So they have a lot of fun, and they're varied in how their ages are. So I went there to teach and brought a lot of things over, and God was incredible how he worked that out. But the thing is that once I got there, I would see that the relationships that were built one at a time. It wasn't necessarily the large group of kids, but it was each one. And as I saw each life and as I got involved in each life and became, you know, got a strong relationship with each one, I could see the change in not only myself, but also in those around me. And there's three people that I just want to tell you about. One, his name is Shrikant, and he came to the school a year and a half ago so that he could learn computer. Little did he know that he was going to be learning about the Bible and that this school in itself was going to lay the groundwork for him to learn more about the Lord. He has a Hindu mother. His father died when he was young, so his brother and sister helped support the family. And so with Shrikant, he came, he was learning the more about the Bible. The more he learned, the more he wanted, just like anybody, you thirst after the true word of God. So he kept thirsting after the word of God, and he became really proficient in American Sign Language. There they have Indian Sign Language, which the vocabulary is very limited. And so American Sign Language is able to teach them more so that they can learn more about Jesus, basically. That's my goal when I go there. I'm teaching them fun stories sometimes, but then, you know, I'm teaching about three billy goats gruff. The next thing you know, they're learning about goats and sheep and how God separates them. So they don't realize as they're learning fun things, as we go into deeper and learn about the Bible, it's actually giving them a good, strong foundation on the Bible. So anyway, now what Shrikant is doing is he started teaching computer class, and now he has the opportunity to go to a deaf Bible college there, and it's being taught in American Sign Language. So it's very incredible how his thirst for knowledge is going to help him to actually be able to teach others later. Another one I want to tell you about is, her name is Nirmala. And Nirmala graduated a year ago from tailoring. And this gal was like my friend. This is the fourth time that I've been to India. And each time I go, I just love to hug her and hold her. They're very touchy in India. Men, especially. They just love to hang all over each other. And so, you know, you just start doing that when you're there. So I'd always be holding her hand and just, you know, talking with her. And she had really expressed an interest in being baptized. I thought she was baptized last year, but she wasn't able to be baptized. So this year she came back for Founders Day, which is a big celebration day, and a lot of people who graduated from the school come. And so I was just sitting there talking with her, you know, so you've been baptized? No. Would you like to be baptized? Yes, of course, you know, you do. You want to be baptized? And I started asking her about it and about her life, and she wanted the Lord. She wanted to obey the Lord, and that so much. In India, when you are baptized, it is a solid conversion. Before that, when you accept him and you say, I accept you into my heart, it's not really a solid conversion. There's really nothing official about it. But when you're baptized, you are officially a Christian. She has a Hindu family. This was huge for her because once you convert, you are usually ostracized from your family. So she said, yes, you wanted to. So the next thing you know, we were getting a big, and Tom came over. It was really great. This is when the March team was there. So they were able to, we were all in on this whole celebration in March. So, you know, he came over. He talked with her. We took her up to her room. Her mother, who was Hindu, was there. Took her up to the room, baptized her. And if you could see the look on her face, it made the whole 6 months we were in India worth it. Because we could see that she was so happy and had a joy because she was obeying the Lord. And she wanted that so much. And then one more person, her name is Kanchan. She's not a student at the school. Her husband works at the school. But she became a friend of mine. She's 24 years old. She grew up in an orphanage, has no family. And weekly she would start coming to my house and we would bake. And I would show her different things of how to bake and how to cook. And, you know, we really liked the time. She would teach me a little bit of Marathi and then I would teach her some English. And then one time she was really sad. She came to my door and I didn't understand what had happened. She'd never been like that before and she didn't have her 2-year-old with her. And it was because she and her husband had gotten a really strong disagreement and she was scared and she came to my house. So I talked with her. She was so sad. She actually, we lived on the 6th floor in what's called a flat. It's like an apartment. And so she just really wanted to end her life right there. She was very sad. She didn't know a way out. So I brought her in. We just started talking, and the Lord just started, it was there. And what little, I mean, she didn't know much English. All I said, God loves you. Okay, that was enough. She loves the Lord. That was enough. She knew he loved her. So then from there, you know, her husband came over. They mended it. We'd talk with the couple afterwards and see how it was going. And it was great just to see how the Lord works not only in a group setting, but each life. And, you know, so I look at, like, you're going to see pictures up there. When you see pictures up there, I don't see a big group, but I see each person and their life and the time that we shared with each one of them. One verse that I just want to share with you before we go is Psalm 115:1. Not to us, O Lord, but to you goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. Rob, how many gods do they worship? 33 million gods they worship in India. Quite a variety over there. But pray for the Indian people. Their hearts, I know their hearts and how they're hurting for the Indian people. And maybe one of those 333 million is messing with us right now. So pray. You better pray for that. But their hearts are hurting. They want to go back. Their hearts are still there. But God has a work for them here. So pray for them. And be sure to pray for the deaf school over there and the Indian people. But right now they're going to show us some pictures, and then we're going to have the India team come up. So.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes his own. Carry your candle. Run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go like your word. Take your candle and go like. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a fight. So carry your candle. Hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times.
want you to come on up, Tom, with the team. As you know, this team went in March, and there was 9 of them, including Tom. And he had the privilege of leading these beautiful young ladies over there to India. So they're going to come and share with you.
Hi, I'm Karen, and it's so hard to imagine when everybody's telling you you need to go on this trip and you're thinking, no, you don't need to go on this trip because you have a family to take care of and a job. And I just decided to be faithful and pray, and God sent me. And so I prayed, Lord, let us find ways to bless these people, and especially the Burns's being there, and let's make their load a little lighter. And God was so good and just giving us so many opportunities to serve. We worked with the children, and we got to worship with them. And I'll tell you, it's awesome to see 100 or more children all signing the songs that we're signing to them to lead worship. And I'm sure to God, it sounds beautiful. To us, it was awesome to watch. Very exciting. And, you know, not all of us came being able to sign. There were some of us that didn't know any sign. And I had to wonder how God would use them, I guess. I know he had a plan for all of us since all of us didn't sign. So some of us interpreted for those who didn't sign. And we did the armor, putting on the full armor of God. And Tom brought a suit of armor, and one of the little boys came up to be the model. And as he put each piece on, we would explain what it represented. And it was so exciting to see them, after repeating it quite a few times, to the light going on and understanding it. And it was so exciting to see that and the way God can use every single one of us. And I would encourage each and every one of you to sign up, even if you've decided you're not going to go, as I did, and watch and see what the Lord will do.
Good evening. My name is Leanna Costa, and I was part of the blessed team that went to India. I can't believe I'm standing here sharing about my mission trip to India. It was after hearing the China team speak that the Lord really placed it on my heart to do missionary work. It was definitely encouraging and a wake-up call to get out there and serve. Serving was my idea, but going to India was the Lord's. I thought it would be awesome to go and help the deaf kids, the Burns family, but most importantly, to serve the Lord in this capacity. Anyway, I signed up for India, and that's all I did. The Lord took care of everything from my time off of work to the money that was needed to my awesome roommate. The Indian family that we stayed with and our chef, Chacha, made the American team feel right at home. However, the kids were the ones who really made an impression on my heart. They were so much fun to be around and so loving, and the cool part was that even though I didn't know sign language, the Holy Spirit was there to bridge that communication gap. After visiting India, I realized that because these kids were deaf, they were able to attend MFD and be well cared for physically and, most important, spiritually. I believe that their deafness is not only a blessing to them, but those they come in contact with. I just want to say thanks to the Lord for allowing me to meet more of my brothers and sisters, and especially for the very dear person who made this financially possible for me to go. If the Lord has placed it in your heart to be part of missionary work, pray about what he may have you do, whether it be to actually go and work in the field, to stay here and pray, or to sponsor someone. Either way, your life will be greatly changed and very blessed. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Tammy. And first of all, I never even really expected to go on this trip to India, but God made it very clear to me that I was to go. And even the first meeting, I came to church. I was praying on the way, God, don't let me miss out on any of your opportunities. And I come to church, and that's what Jack was preaching on, too. And also, I ended up talking to an usher who told me about the India meeting that day, and he encouraged me to go. And that first meeting, I ended up interpreting for a boy that was deaf that came to it. And I was just blown away. I was like, wow, the Lord really showed me that I need to be here today. And that was just such a neat feeling, that to feel like I was in God's will, that he really wanted me to be there. So I continued going, even though the boy didn't show up, I continued going, but I wasn't feeling this need, like, to go to India. I was a little afraid, and, you know, I have kids at home, and this is just way out of my character to go to halfway across the world. And I went home, I told my mom about the meeting, and she was just freaked out. She said, "Tammy, God just gave me a vision. You're not going to India." And I was just like, "Mom, I know. I'm not going to go. This is scary. This is something really big. I would not go to India unless the Lord really showed me that I need to go." And he really showed it to me. I was just so blown away. It has strengthened my faith. I wouldn't change this experience for anything. I wouldn't change this experience to a trip to Hawaii. It's just something that is just going to always stay with me. It strengthened my faith. And now I know, like, God had to keep on showing me, like, "Yes, Tammy, you're going to India." Down to the very last phone call that I had with my sister, I was telling her, I was like, "Colleen, I don't feel the feel to go to India. Maybe there's some other way I can help those people go." And then after I hung up with her, the leader of the missions called me 2 minutes. I'm not kidding, 2 minutes. The Lord knew it had to be close or else I'd be doubting it. And he asked me, "How do you feel about going to India?" I was a little bit scared, and the first thing I asked him, I said, "Did you and Jack pray about this?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, we prayed about it." So I just got a peace. I called my sister back because I had to make sure she didn't sponsor me or anything, you know, like it wasn't her influence, and she didn't sponsor me. So I knew it was really from the Lord, and even to getting my birth certificate and everything just fell in place. And so that gave me the courage and the faith to step out and to go do this trip, and I was just blown away. I was just so blessed. And it's so true. When you step out, God is going to bless you. And if you just pray, he is going to show you. Because I always wonder, like, I know God could do this and do everything, but is he going to do it for me? And I'm never going to forget this experience, because he can do it for us. He'll do it for you individually. If you pray, he will show you. It was amazing, the spiritual warfare there, too. I was just blown away with it. Just to see that they can worship all these gods, like Rob said, 33 million idols, and they make it so hard for you to become a Christian over there. And you see these kids on this screen up here, and you just feel for them. You just want them to know about the Lord, and this country just makes it so hard on them. And there's just such a need for people to go over there, and we're just so thankful for, like, Donna and Rob's family that would spend all that time over there for those kids. You grow attached to them. And I'll never forget the one time when this Indian man was standing up. He was giving his testimony. And this one boy starts signing to me in sign language, "I want my mom and dad to know this. I want them to change from idols. And I want them to know this." And I was just, that's going to stick with me forever. Thank you. My time's up.
My name is Kim. And there's nothing more important than knowing Jesus Christ. The deaf students in India know about God's love, but they don't all have security in their salvation. They're just beginning to learn American Sign Language, and sometimes there's challenges in communicating. I was talking to a teenage boy, and I said, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven?" He said, "I'm not going to die today." "No, no. Pretend. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to die?" "No, I don't want to die." "Okay. In a long time from now, when you're really, really old and you die, you know, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven?" And communication was just a challenge a lot of the time. The deaf need to hear the word of God. There's a teenage girl that asked me to meet her sister. She was married and she spoke English, and she wanted us to tell her sister to turn away from her idols. So I got Tom to come with me. He presented the gospel to the sister in English. He explained who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and I told the deaf girl what he was saying to her sister. The deaf girl was so excited that her sister was hearing about Jesus, and the sister was very excited and very interested in Jesus, but she wasn't ready to give up her idols at that point. So she left with a lot to think about that one night. And we all left India with a lot to think about. God showed me how to trust in him and depend on him completely. And he taught me that there's freedom in submitting to him.
Hi, I'm Chris. I want to talk about the prayer tonight that went on. I just really want to thank everybody who prayed for us, because we really felt it over there. us as a team had been praying for about 2.5 months, I think, before the trip. And some of the things that we prayed for was team unity. And I can't say enough about these people. We had just so much fun together. We prayed together, laughed together. We supported each other very well. It was just a really good team. And it's just really neat to know that God picked each and every one of us. So that was a great thing. And we prayed for safety. Everything was fine. The driving was very crazy. I don't have enough time to talk about the driving, but it was an adventure. We prayed for God to bridge the communication gap, and he did. Four of them speak sign language very well, and the other four of us did not. And where we had problems, they came in and backed us up, and it was just, they were getting it. Like Kim said, there was some, you know, problems with our language versus theirs, but they were getting it. And we also prayed for our families to be safe here at home, and I think for the most part they were. I haven't heard of any stories, but my personal prayer for myself was for God to help me not to cry, because if I see anybody emotional, there's my light. If I see people being emotional or sad or whatever, I cry, and I can't talk when I cry. Can't talk when I'm nervous either. But anyway, I must say that God was good. He answered all of our prayers, and I didn't cry as much as Tom.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My name is Carol Wheeler. I'm going to read from my sheet. For the past several months, the Lord has been asking me to step out of my comfort zone in many areas of my life. One area was going to India, another is standing up here sharing. When I first signed up to pray about going to India, I wasn't sure why the Lord would send me, since I don't know sign, and the school we went to minister is for the deaf. He made it very clear that I was to continue praying and let him show me if it was not his perfect will for me to go. The months leading up to our departure, the Lord had been also making it very clear to me the importance of being yielded to his Holy Spirit. During the trip, I saw why. The day after the Founders Day celebration, I remember sitting on the ground in the middle of several parents of the students of the school with an opportunity to talk to them, but I did not have a translator, nor did I know any Marathi. I asked the Lord how he could use me without being able to communicate with these parents in their language. He put it on my heart again very clearly to do this. I pray for you. The individual parents I did this to would nod their head yes in a way I still have not yet learned how to do. Thus, we would bow our heads, and I would pray as the Holy Spirit led me to, without them understanding a word I was saying. One thing I remember praying is that the Lord would cause them to think about the gospel message they had heard. I was blown away to think about how God would use my prayer to have an eternal impact on those few parents for whom I was given the privilege to pray for. My prayer is that I will see them in heaven. I've been to Russia and Germany on short-term mission trips in the past several years. I would have to say that this mission trip to India was by far the best for me. I'm so thankful I've listened to the Lord and have stepped out of my comfort zone. I pray I will continue to do so. He is awesome.
You know, comfort zones are a very strange thing. Probably 8 years ago, I was sitting out there, and a team came up from Russia, talked about Russia. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And Jack said, you know, you really ought to let the Lord use you in the mission field somehow or another. And I can remember sitting there like this going, not this boy. But then he gave me an out. He said, you're either a goer or a sender. I said, easy, I can send, no problem. So I became a sender. And this guy over here kept trying to convince me, you need to go on the mission field. Oh, I'm a sender. I know what I am. Well, shortly thereafter, he almost physically drugged me onto the mission field. Actually, down to Cabo, which you're going to hear about in a little bit. And the Lord did an amazing thing there. So he totally changed my comfort zone. and showed me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But more important than that, or not more important, but equally important to me, he said to me, Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. See, I grew up in a church that taught me how to do things based on the abilities that God had given me, which was fine, but I didn't know anything about the power of the Holy Spirit. And boy, when you find out about the power of the Holy Spirit, you realize there ain't nothing he can't do through you. Now that blows away comfort zones. But my comfort zone got bigger, but it needed to expand. So as I was minding my own business, helping put this team together administratively for Jeff, Jeff called me up and said, hey, you want to lead this team to India? I went, what? First of all, youth, kids, I don't even know. I mean, I've got five kids, but I don't know much about kids. It doesn't seem. And they're deaf. I don't speak deaf. And it's in India, which I've never had a heart for India. So it's like, what's this? And then it turns out it's nine ladies. I'm going, okay, Lord, what is this about? Well, it was about expanding my comfort zone for me, but it was about reaching people. We had the great privilege of standing up in front of probably 200 to 400 parents and relatives and friends of these kids, Muslims and Hindus, most of which have never heard the gospel before. And we got to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly and several different times. That's an amazing, amazing thing to have happen. And let me just tell you that if you are willing to say, like this team did, and like many of you had, yes, Lord, God will do awesome things such as not been seen in all the earth. And he wants to do them with you.
Excellent job, you guys. Makes me want to be back out there again. Can we start the pictures, and while the team comes up, can we like loop it a couple times while they're speaking? Can we do that? Okay. Cabo team, stand up. And why don't you guys come on up? Why don't you come right up here on the stage like they were? Same area. Okay, and these are the people that are going to be speaking. And unlike the India team, Tom was gracious and gave them time to prepare. This team doesn't know who's going to speak and who's not. They're not all going to speak. In this order, I want Keith and I want Michelle behind them. And then John Terry and Hannah, Liz, Zach, and Jackie are going to speak to us. And Zach's going to be the first, and I just have to tell you a little bit about this guy. Many of you have known, if I can say this without bawling here, a man named Norm Witt that used to come to this church. And I often kid that Norm, his last name should have been Witness, because he was the most incredible witness for Jesus Christ that I've ever seen in my entire life. There's a few others in this church, Chuck White being one of them, and a few others that have just an incredible heart to go and share Jesus, and they do it constantly, 24/7. And Norm was like that. He passed away a few years ago. His wife's here, Kathy, and his family. But this is his grandson. And he went out there and he shared the gospel just like Grandpa used to do. And his mom's the next one, Norm's daughter, and she's going to share after that. And then the rest of the team's going to share. So, Zach, come on up, buddy. And Mom, Michelle. Shelly.
Keith. Zach. Oh, my gosh, Keith, I'm sorry.
You had him happy for a minute. He thought he was going second. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Keith, and I am 11 years old. And this was my first mission trip. God used me in many ways on this trip. I was even able to use my soccer skills to share with a boy and his dad. As we were kicking the ball around, the rest of the family was sitting nearby. When we stopped playing, we went over to share with the whole family. After presenting the gospel, 10 to 12 people accepted Jesus. It was a cool experience, and I hope to go on another mission trip soon. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Shelley, and this was my second mission trip to Cabo. I'd like to thank everyone who was praying for us. We were able to feel God's presence everywhere we went. The first day we went out to share, Bill, Liz, Jacob, and I prayed that God would give us discernment and that he would guide us to the people who were hungry for his word. During the time we were knocking on doors, we were stopped by at least two cars and asked if we were lost. My first thought was, I'm not lost, but are you? Amazing. We were sharing the gospel with people driving by in their cars. And then when it was time for us to leave that day, we had our seatbelts fastened, car was getting turned on, and another kid came up to us. And he says, are you guys lost? And we shared the gospel with him also. We knew from our experience that day that we were going to be in for an awesome week. We shared with many people, and I'm looking forward to going again real soon. I know at this church you're either a sender or a goer, so if you're a sender, you can send me.
Hi, my name's John T., and I became Keith's grandfather, I guess. He was in my car. I have a verse here. I got this from the call. I pray that you be active in sharing your faith so that you may have a full understanding of Christ. And that is absolutely what happens when you're active in sharing. The call trained me for this mission trip. I didn't know that. It was totally like being on the call. I remember one day that we were supposed to go out and we were doing activities, and it was time for me to lead the car and Keith and a few other people in the car. And it was like, well, who are we going to go share with? Well, I don't know. So I prayed about it. And the only thing that God gave me was I needed to go back to the little market back there and get an ice cream cone. So I did. But we pulled up right next to the market, and these dogs were barking like crazy. And this guy came out and started saying, you know, sorry, the dogs are barking. I noticed that he spoke English, and, you know, I've been around people Spanish. And I go, hey, you speak English. Can I talk with you? And he came over, and then I just pulled out my Bible and says, can I talk to you about the Bible? He kind of stepped back. Then we started to share. And again, I've learned how to share. And we were going through the gospel, and he started saying, whoa, this must be a God thing. You are here. I was praying about somebody supposed to come. And then we started sharing some more. And he did accept the Lord. But the cool part about it, and this is when you know it's a divine appointment, he told me that he'd worked for 3.5 months straight. And this is the first day that he had off. And we showed up and we shared the Lord with him, and we were so blessed. I did a follow up with him a couple days later. He still remembered who I was. He still loved it. And as I was leaving, he got his little camera out and set it on a car. And I was standing there, and he ran over, took a picture of me, and just was just hugging. And it was such an amazing thing. And there's so many stories. You got to go. God bless you guys.
I'm Hannah, and I've been taking the call for about 4 sessions, and I signed up for Cabo because I wanted to put my call training, like, into missionary work, and there were a ton of radical things that happened in Cabo, but the one that really stuck out to me was it was probably the last day that we were got to share, and my leader said that he wanted me to share with these people in a jewelry shop that he had visited, or the other team had visited before, and I was really scared because I was thinking, well, people are going to be looking at me and wondering what am I doing, and they'll get distracted a ton, but a verse popped into my head, and it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And at first, I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? But and once I walked into the jewelry store and I started sharing with them, I was like really excited. And afterwards, the four people that were listening to what I said, they all came to the Lord. And we, after like sharing with them, and I realized that God can use all of us, because He used me, and I was like really scared. And so I just encourage you to either sign up for a mission trip or join the call.
Hi, my name is Zach, and this is my second trip to Cabo. My first one was before I went into seventh grade, so I was a little young. And this one was just so cool because I got to see really just the Holy Spirit working. And on one of the nights, we were in the park, and my leader, Frank, he decided to push me out and make me take a step of faith. And he said, go share with that kid, he speaks Spanish. I'm like, well, I don't speak Spanish. And all the translators were being used. So I was just like, okay. So I took the little Bible tract that we had in Spanish, and I went over to this kid, and I got to share the whole gospel with him in Spanish. And I just read it to him, because I've taken Spanish before. So it was a little hard, but he understood what I was saying, and he spoke a little bit of English, so I was able to communicate with him a little. And he accepted the Lord. And I didn't get to see him after that, but I just hope that the Lord used that just to draw him closer. And that was just one of the many, many, many stories that we were able to share. And our team specifically just got to share with so many people. It was really awesome the whole entire week. So.
Hi, my name is Liz, and Cabo was really just a lot of fun. It was definitely way out of my comfort zone. March was my second trip. I went in November because I really felt like the Lord called me to go. I'm definitely not bold. I've done the call, and it's still real scary to go out Thursday nights. I was like, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. But so it was just really from the Lord to go to Cabo. At first, I was like, no, Lord, I can't go. I'm busy. I'm homeschooling my daughter. This is my first year homeschooling her. I have a 1.5-year-old. I'm really, really busy. Send somebody else. And he made it very just clear to me that I needed to go. I speak Spanish. And I was like, well, that could make it easier because I'm not sharing. I'm just translating. So that kind of helped. But, I mean, I was just so blessed. I stepped out and I went to the meetings. I got to go. My daughter went with me the first time. She's 10, and she just was so blessed to go. We had so much fun. And I mean, it was so from the Lord that I got to go again in March. And I just want to encourage you guys, those of you who are, never would have thought that I would go on a mission trip. God can use you and use any gift that He has given you to bless Him and to bring Him glory. So I just encourage you. And also, I had so much fun with all your family here. We became a family down there. So I just really encourage you guys to sign up. And I pray that the Lord would continue to stir hearts up to serve Him.
Hi, my name is Jackie, and I like to share the same verse as Hannah. And just trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll lead your path straight. And this is an amazing verse, just trusting in the Lord. And I'm only 15, and God's sending me out to Cabo, and, this is my second time going, and it just crazy, you're just like, I'm going to Cabo on my spring break when I could be doing something else, hanging out with my friends or whatever. And it's amazing how if you just trust in God and just believe that He'll lead you wherever, because this trip was kind of odd because we didn't have really anything planned. We didn't have any outreaches planned. We just planned, we're going to go out from, from 10 to 5 and share the gospel wherever God leads you. Okay, and it was really funny because this one day, our driver, John, we were just driving along the road, and he's like, oh, look, there's just some kid right there walking, looks like he's going to go to a soccer game. Let's pick him up and talk to him. And
he just, we went and talked to him, and he jumped in the car. He was like, oh, sure, you know, he spoke English, and I need a ride to the soccer field. I have a soccer game. And on the way to the soccer field, we shared the whole gospel, and he ended up accepting. And he was only about my age, 15, 16, somewhere around there, and I was just blown away. I'm like, well, he spoke English, you know, we didn't really have any language barrier or anything we could just share with him. And the fact that he accepted and believed that what we were saying, he took in. And it just blew me away. And also, really quick, we were just driving around. We were totally lost. We had no clue where we were. We were in these housing areas. And we're like, okay, so. And John, actually, he's like, let's just stop and ask how much that lot of land is, and maybe, you know, something will happen. And we actually ended up sharing with this whole family of girls. These girls, I think the littlest was 8, and there was about 5 of them. And then we also shared with their grandma, who happened to be 85. And we shared with them, and they understood everything that we were saying. And it was just crazy, because at the end, they all accepted Christ. And it was just amazing. You just have to be there and experience for yourself. You feel, I don't know what you feel. It's just a weird feeling, and it's totally awesome feeling. And just sign up. You know, all you have to do is sign up, and God will lead you wherever. Thank you.
Great team. Wish we had a little more time, but we want to end on time tonight. These are two incredible teams. These are just regular people, you guys, like me and you. They're nobody, you know, extraordinary. They are to the Lord and to their families. To us, too, but they're like us. You may say, man, you know, they can go and do it. And remember the verse in the Bible, here I am, Lord, send me. Remember, that does not say, there he is, Lord, send him. Just remember that. Or there she is, Lord, she's ready, send her. That's not what the Bible says. Here I am, Lord. That's what the Lord wants to hear you say is, Lord, here I am. What do you want to do with me? It may be on the mission field. You know, the mission field's right out through these doors, you guys, and we already have some signs we're going to be putting up at every exit here in the sanctuary in the main. You'll be going out through those doors every single Sunday, seeing that above on the door frame there. It says, through these doors you enter the mission field. And that's what they are. They're through those doors. They're not necessarily, you don't have to get on a plane. In fact, you've heard the sayings, a lot of people fly over the mission field to get to the mission field. Well, you know what? Your mission field's right out through those doors. They're your friends, they're your family. And you may say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. That's where Tom and Mike and the call ministry come in. On Thursday nights. I want to encourage you guys. Nothing has changed my life and my wife's life more than learning how to share the gospel, going through the call. And I'm kind of a dunce. It took me about 4 semesters before I finally learned how to do it. But once I did, God sent me. He didn't just send me on the mission field. He made me a mission field. I went over to Mexico and lived there for a while. And then I went to Germany and China. I can't tell you how many places God sent me once I learned what to say and how to bring somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you guys to do that. If you don't know how to share the gospel, get signed up on Thursday nights and then sign up for a mission trip. In fact, sign up for a mission trip anyway and then pray that God will take your name off. Okay? God, if you don't want me to go, then take my name off the list. But I'm going to do my part, Lord. You say that I'm to be salt and light in the world. I'm going to sign up. And then if you don't want me to go, take my name off the list. But I'm going to sign up. I'm going to go to the meetings and see what God does. It doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter about time. God will take care of those things. Those are minor things to God. He wants a willing heart. That's what he wants. And so that's why we say, Lord, here I am. Send me. What do you want me to do? I'm really, really excited, you guys. Before you leave tonight, you got to go out. You'll be the first ones. This is incredible to me because I've been praying for this for years and years, for a mission board that's starting to shape up finally. You've seen the sign by the map back there in the hallway that says mission board under construction. It's still under construction, but right before service tonight, everything came together. The office worked incredibly hard to put together. We have almost all of our missionaries now on a bookmark that you can pick up tonight. They're back there ready for you to pick up. Pick up one or two of them. We only made like 100 of each because we had to hurry and get it done for tonight. It was a rush. We're gonna fine tune them and get more out there for you to pick up. Pick one of those up and start praying for our missionaries. We have about a dozen missionaries from this church and the world out there. Not only in the United States, but we have them in Russia, in Germany, in Mexico. So pick one of those up and start praying for our missionaries. They're back there on the missions board. And also, we have some flyers, prayer flyers. We have prayer every single Sunday for missionaries in room 202 at 145 every single Sunday. They're now joining the mission team and praying with the mission teams as they prepare for their preparation for a mission trip. But join us as we pray. That's a great place to start. God honors when we go to mission or to prayer meetings. God will honor that. So start at a prayer meeting, room 202 at 145. We have flyers back there. You can pick one of those up for that. Also, we have magazines from the Voice of the Martyrs back there. You can pick one of those up. If you've never read a Voice of the Martyr magazine, they're incredible. There's something like 165,000 Christians that died last year for their faith. Pick that magazine up. Start reading that. That'll bolster your faith. There's also a flyer back there. You have to read this little flyer. It's about smuggling Bibles. Why should I smuggle Bibles into China? And a lot of people go, well, it's against the law. You can't smuggle Bibles. The law says you can't do that. Well, you know, we obey the law as long as it doesn't contradict God's law. When it contradicts God's law, guess which way we go? We go with God's law. And he says, go. And so we go. Pick up that flyer. It has some incredible facts. Something like can't remember. You got to read it. There's thousands of Christians that come to Christ every single day in China. Thousands. I think it's a couple of thousand. 1,400 per hour, I think, in China. It's incredible. Get that little tiny flyer. It says, why should we smuggle Bibles? There's a brand new. We just got two boxes in my office. I just got them today. Calvary Chapel Missions Magazine. Very good reading. Grab one of those. They're all free back there. Upcoming, what we want to do back there, we're going to put some flat screens up on the mission board back there. And we're going to have, on one side of the map, we're going to have our upcoming mission trips, our previous mission trips. And on the other side of the map, we're going to have all of our missionaries. And finally, all of our missionaries are starting to be taken care of from this church. We're sending them boxes every month or two. We just sent some out about a week ago, and we're getting reports back. Thank you so much. You guys really do love us at Chino Hills, you know. And it's incredible. The Burnses know how much it means. I know how much it meant. I was one of them out there to get a call. I used to rush to my office to see if I had an email. And we also have a computer. Faith has got a computer going back there, and we're going to be able to start emailing. You can go back there. She's got her thumbs up. She says it's working. You can go back there, and you can email our missionaries now, right now. I mean, you can head back. Not right now. Hold on. But as soon as we say amen, you can go back there and you can send an email to our missionaries and encourage them. That's incredible. I am so excited. Can you tell? I'm really excited here. Upcoming mission trips, and then we're done. Don can come up. I'm finishing up here. But we're going to have I'm working on some trips to China in November. And then next year, we're going to be going to Macau, China. Incredible opportunity over there, you guys, to go and to share the gospel. Macau is open to the gospel. You can openly go and share in Macau, China. And right across the river from Macau is communist China, where you cannot share the gospel. So Don and the guys, when we went to Macau last year in 2003, we set the giant speakers. Don, you know, I take little speakers. Don takes speakers that you have to stack 10 feet high. And he turned them toward across the river so that we were blasting into communist China, which is really cool. And we saw hundreds of people come to Christ, and many of them are still going to the church there in Macau. So pray March, April time frame for Macau, China next year. We're praying about Africa. Incredible things are happening in Mali. You guys are finishing that school. They're building feverishly before the rains come. In May and June, the rains come to Mali, Africa. So they're working so hard. We sent them the money you guys provided. We sent it over there, and they're working to get that school. Remember the school? We needed 2/3 more of the school finished. They're working on getting that done. You guys are doing that. So pray how God would use you. And just let me close in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for this time to come together. And we're excited, Lord, about what you're doing in the world. Lord, time's short. And you tell us we need to be busy about your business. Because a time's coming when no man can work. We need to get out there and work for you. Not for salvation. We get out there and work because of what you did for us. And our hearts break for the people that don't know you. And so, Lord, we just ask right now that, Lord, as we go through these doors, that we would be busy about your business, that we would learn to share the gospel. And then once we do, Lord, we would go out and share. And even as we're learning, we'll share. We'll put our arms around somebody and tell them Jesus loves you. That's sharing. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be busy about your business. Bless our missionaries out there. Keep them safe. Lord, we pray that you would provide for their every need. And Lord, we're just, we're a blessed people, Lord. And you tell us to whom much is given, much is required. And so, Lord, we've been given much. And so, Lord, we want to take that responsibility and go in the world and just rock it for your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing He Reigns again.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain.